The cardboard box on the rack above my bus seat held what was left of my possessions. In a few hours, they would belong to God, and so would I. I watched the street outside, mesmerized as cars wove through 8 lanes of traffic. On a billboard, an electric blonde advertised cigarettes, then suddenly morphed into a giant banana, flaunting a reed skirt and long, dark eyelashes. "You been to the city before?" A man with a black T-shirt waved his hands, brushing my shoulder with his too broad gesture. He stared, waiting for an answer. "Yes, I was here in January."
"Really? You look like you never seen a city before. Where are you from?"
I shifted in the seat. Was it supposed to be this personal between passengers on buses in New York? "Texas."
"Texas?"
The man was loud. Other people in the bus turned their heads to look.
"What's a kid from Texas doing in New York?"
I wasn't a kid. I was 19, and I just finished a year in the honors program at the University of Texas with good grades. I didn't see why I should explain to a loud man on a bus that I was in New York, because the only thing I'd been thinking of for the past year and a half had been coming to this city to give myself to God. But not answering would have been rude. "I came to see some sisters."
"Oh, you got relatives here."
He seemed satisfied, but his conclusion wasn't accurate. "Not those kind of sisters, Catholic sisters, nuns."
"You're coming to New York City to see nuns?"
"To become a nun." He drew in a whistle as his eyes traveled my body, perhaps looking for some sort of deformity, or maybe, if he was Catholic, a halo. I possessed neither. I didn't expect him to understand. Even my family didn't understand. The man grew quiet, and I grew less tense. Soon I didn't see the buildings or the billboards anymore. I saw Mom, Dad, my 5 sisters and my brother all lined up on the tarmac that morning, waving their eldest off. 4-year-old Heather's hand had never stopped waving. Only she seemed to understand the joy of my adventure. Kathy, just 13 months younger than I, had cried most of the night. She'd said, as she had for weeks, "Mary, you're wasting your life." I'd told her that I'd chosen the best life possible, a life of love. But that morning, she'd refused even to look at me. Mom waved, but didn't smile. She'd been so insistent that I at least finish college. I'd explained that when God calls, you don't put him on hold. But she didn't get that either. It had been even worse when Dad had taken me to the airport in January for the preliminary week the sisters called Come and See. The plane was delayed, and while we sat waiting, he put his hand on my knee and looked into my eyes, then at my suitcase, the floor, then at me again, without saying anything. When tears began to puddle in his eyes, he left without a word or a glance back. The bus jerked to a halt at Grand Central Terminal. I reached for the rack above, but the man in the black T-shirt saw me and lifted the box before I could. "Best of luck, kid," he said as he placed the box in my hands, then added under his breath, "Pray for me, okay?" I nodded and smiled, edging my way along the aisle. I told myself to be more careful about judging people in the future. As I stepped off the bus, a wave of heat slapped me. Not the familiar heat heavy with refinery fumes and Gulf Coast humidity, but an undulating heat of asphalt, steel, and bodies. I looked for the man in the T-shirt, but he was gone. All I saw were swarms of people, hurrying, determined people, who all seemed to know where they were going. I knew where I was going to. I'd taken a taxi in January, though the first 3 cabs to stop had refused to venture into the South Bronx. This time, the sisters had sent directions, and I'd memorized them. Shuttle bus to Grand Central, the number 5 subway, a 5-block walk. "God," I prayed, "lead me through this scurrying city. Lead me to you." I walked down steps that smelled of urine. On the platform, I flinched a little as trains rushed past, then marveled at their jackets of neon graffiti. I clutched the strings on my box. I'd heard stories of men with knives on subways, and lately the evening news had dwelt on the Son of Sam. The serial killer, who police said believed he was possessed by the devil, shot women with long dark hair. My hair was sort of dark, but short. According to Walter Cronkite, women in New York had bought out the city's entire stock of blonde wigs and were on the verge of panic. God, take care of me. I'm working for you now.